If you've got a Bible this morning, go ahead, grab it, open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's where we're going to begin our time this morning. And as you're turning, I want to tell you a story. A couple years ago, our family was on a trip. We flew on an airplane with the boys, and they always enjoy getting on an airplane. It doesn't matter where we go, what we do. When we get back from the trip, if you were to say, hey guys, how was the trip? They'd say, great. Say, what is your favorite part? They'd say the airplane ride, right? They just really enjoy being on airplanes. They don't really care about the destination as much as they do the ride itself. And I think this is why, right? We have these little tablets for them, and they can't use them on a regular basis. They can't use them in our house. The only place we'll let them use them is on a long road trip or on an airplane ride. And so they've got these, and they're playing with them on the airplane, and at one point, I look over. You know, they can do movies, games, all that kind of stuff. At one point, I look over because I'm sitting, like, on the right side of the plane. I'm reading a book, and all of a sudden, I hear really, really loudly coming from the left side of the plane a kid's movie. And so as I turn and look, every other adult in our area of the plane is also turning and looking, and we see one of my kids. He's got his headphones on, and I won't put them on, I'll stretch them out, but he's got his headphones on, and he's got this tablet in front of him, and he is just locked into a movie, right? And I look and I notice the problem is the end of this cord is dangling on the ground by his feet. It's not plugged into the tablet, and so everybody else is getting the whole picture. We can see the movie, we can hear the movie, we can laugh at the jokes, we can be engaged in what's going on, but my kid can't, right? He's just locked in visually, but he's missing out. And so I try to get his attention, and the plane's loud a little bit, and these are on his ears. So I reach over and I grab this and I just pop it on the side of his head, and he looks at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, bud, pick up the cord and plug it in. He goes, what do you mean? And I'm like, can you not hear? You can't hear anything, right? You're completely missing out on the experience here. You have to plug in and engage if you want to know what's going on. Listen, he was missing the lines, he was missing the jokes, he was missing the plot, and he had no idea what was going on in that movie that he was supposedly watching. And let me just tell you that if he never plugged into it, very quickly he was going to lose interest. Right? If he never plugged into it, very quickly he was going to be confused, he was going to drift away, he was going to put this down, he was going to turn to something else to occupy his time that was there on the airplane. Listen, he was close, but until he plugged in, he was missing out on the best part. And this morning, I just want to say that it's very possible that you could be in the same boat as him and not even know it. It's very possible that you know people, that you have relationships with people in your life. They're in the same boat as my kid. They're close, but they're not plugged in, and they don't even really know yet what they're missing. It's possible that you're sitting around someone this morning, and they're close, right? But they're not connected, and they're missing out on some of the best parts of being a part of the body of Christ. All right, here's the reality. If we come in here to worship, and we never take a step further, if we never engage with one another relationally, if we never build those bonds with other people in the church family, listen, we're missing out. What we do in this room, it's important, right? This corporate worship that we've just done with our worship team, that's a biblical thing. The teaching and the sitting under the teaching of the Word of God, you know, 2 Timothy, that is a biblical thing. We're doing what God has called us to do when we come in here. There's no doubt about it. But as believers, people that are seeking to follow Christ in all that we do, we cannot stop there. We have to make sure that we are connected relationally to other believers. And as we saw with my kid, being close is not the same as being connected. When you open your Bible and you look at the people, you've studied the lives of believers in the New Testament. Think about them by name right now. Think about Paul and Timothy and Philip and Silas and Barnabas and Peter and James and John. Think about Priscilla. Think about Lydia. Think about all of these believers that you study in the New Testament. When you look at their lives, you see a deep connection to other believers. You see Christian friendships, you see Christian relationships, you see Christian community that they live and exist in. When you open the book of Acts and look at the church as it's formed, the history of the church, which, by the way, you and I are still building on today. When you look at the history of the church, what do we see? We see followers of Jesus that are connected to other followers of Jesus. Right? We don't have examples of people doing this on their own. It's always connected together in this Christian community, this relational concept. And here's what I know. Right? These relationships, these friendships, this deep community, it will never happen by accident. Right? It's a choice that we have to make to engage with one another and to plug in. And I'm saying that it's a choice that we will make if we're desiring to live like God has called us to live. Look back, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. We've been in a series called Summer Hits. Our last one is this morning, 1 Thessalonians 2, 8. It says this, "So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." Let me give you some context on this verse. Paul's the writer here, and he's writing a letter to the church family, to the gathered believers in the city of Thessalonica. It's a church, it's a group of believers that he was instrumental in starting. If you were to flip over to Acts chapter 17, you'd see that on one of his missionary journeys, he goes into the city, he shares the gospel with the people that are there in that city. People trust Christ, they gather together, and the church in that city started. Now, Paul, though, had to leave the city a little bit earlier than he wanted. There were people that were opposed to Christ. There were people that were opposed to the gospel in that city. They ran Paul out of town. But first, we see the gospel's moved in people's hearts. Many trust Christ there, and they gather together. They build these relationships in incredible ways. Listen, God had Paul there for a reason. And while this isn't the main point of our time together this morning, let me remind you, wherever you are right now, whatever it is you're going through, whatever challenges you might be facing like Paul faced in that city, God has you there for a reason as well. Don't forget that, okay? Here's what happened after Paul left the city. You're in 1 Thessalonians 2 right now. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, right? We've got a picture of how these believers continued to live their lives once Paul left. If you look down at verse 6, you see that these believers now were living in what Paul calls in verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he calls their current day-to-day life lives of much affliction. How does that sound? Do you like to live in a way where people looked at your life and described your life as a life that was much afflicted? Who's signing up? Not many, right? That was the state of their lives. Right? That's how they lived. If you, again, looked in Acts chapter 17, you get a picture of that. Paul leaves the city, and all the believers in that city, man, they come under attack. In Acts 17, it says that mobs form. The rabble of the city, it says, that they form these mobs. And they start floating through the city. And who are they targeting? They're targeting these Christians. They're targeting the people that got this letter back to them. You see that their houses are targeted. You see that some people are pulled out of their homes. You see that some people lose their money. Some people have their things, their possessions stolen, taken from them in the midst of this much afflicted time in their lives. That the city there is on edge, right? Everybody's wondering, am I next? Am I the one that they're going to come after next? And then listen, they're being attacked simply because they've trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior. There are some people that were not happy about that. But even in the midst of that, how did these Christians live? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 again, the beginning of this letter. If you look at verse 3 right there and sort of sandwich it in with verse 9, verses 3 through 9, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see that in the midst of mobs, in the midst of the rabble of the city, as Acts 17 talks about, and in the middle of much affliction, you see that these Christians were steadfast. You see that these followers of Jesus did not cave to the crowds, right? They did not go along with the crowd that did not like Jesus. You see that these Christians were full of joy. You read in chapter 1, these Christians lived lives and became examples to other believers in the region, right? Paul's saying, hey, look at the church in Thessalonica. They're living lives worthy of the gospel. Listen, they're following Jesus with all that they have. Look at them and begin to live like them. Listen, they're examples. And not only are they examples, it says they're committed to seeing other people trust in Jesus in their own city and far beyond the walls of their city as well. Look at verse 9 of chapter 1. Everything about these believers changed when they trusted in Christ. They went from worshiping idols to worshiping Jesus. They went from pursuing temporary pleasures that were going to fade to keeping their eyes fixed on Jesus and the eternity that they were going to enjoy with him. Listen, that they did not fall away. They did not drift. They did not cave in hard times. They kept walking with Jesus and encouraging other people to do the same. If we're here today, I think we'd say that's the goal, right? I mean, if we're committed to this, I think that we would say, listen, my goal is to walk with Jesus, to pursue him, to love him, to be with him, and to bring other people along with me, to let other people experience the same thing as well. I think that we would look at these believers and say, listen, in the midst of all they went through, the way they walked with Jesus, man, that is my goal. I don't think any of us would say, you know what, my goal is to walk with Jesus 5 more years, and then I think I'm going to fall away from this whole thing. I don't think any of us would say, my goal is to give the gospel 10 more years in my life, but in 10 years, I'm going to start making some pretty rough decisions that wreck my marriage, that alienate me from my kids. You know what? That this faith thing is good now, but after a while, when times get tough and when the pressure really begins to get to me, I'm sort of going to mail this in, and I'm going to make decisions in my life that are going to cost me more than I ever wanted to pay. None of us would sit here this morning and say that. We're not. Because we know what we're called to. Right? We know what we experience in a relationship with God by trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We know the love, the joy, the peace, the hope. We know everything that God gives us as he blesses us in the midst of that relationship with him. Right? The goal is to continue walking with Jesus. We know how important that is. And here's the thing, right? As we desire to walk with Jesus the way that this church family walked with Jesus, again, I want to point you back to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And read this verse again, knowing the context that it's delivered in. Paul says this, being affectionately desirous of you, loving you, right? Wanting to be with you, wanting to live in that relationship with you. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, we're ready to share with you our own selves. We were ready to share everything. We're ready to share with you our lives. Why? Because you had become so very dear to us. We've said it in here before. I'm going to say it again. The gospel moves at the speed of relationships. Paul did not step into that city for the first time and put flyers out saying, I'm going to give a bunch of lectures and seminars, and I want you guys to download all of this information. He knows that's not the way this works, right? That the gospel is a heart thing. The gospel is a faith thing. We see in these verses that the hearts of this church, they're knit together. We see that this church family is close. They know one another. They love one another. They desire to spend time with one another. Flip back to chapter 1 again, that these believers in this church, they lived in a way that imitated Paul. What did Paul do? He shared his very self with them. He shared his heart with them. He shared his soul with the other believers in that church. Listen, he didn't keep back. He didn't stay at a distance. He didn't sort of float in and float out. He was all in with that church family. He was all in relationally with them in a powerful, powerful way. And what happened as the church lived like that, as they made connection with one another priority as a result of their love for Jesus? So spiritual growth happened, right? Gospel movement happened. Faith and joy and love happened in the good times and in the bad times. And my prayers, as you look at the believers in Thessalonica, is that you'd see that. Right? My prayer is that you'd feel the weight of these relationships, that you'd feel the importance of this kind of connection. Listen, more than likely, right, if you're here, your goal is to walk with Jesus. It's to grow, to experience joy, peace, love, hope that only comes from knowing him. If that's not your goal, I pray that this morning you trust Christ and let him change your life, and that would be your goal. We see it being lived out here. Christians loving Christ, and Christians loving one another because of their relationship with Christ. There's a deep connection to other believers. Listen, this morning, if there's someone that loves you, as someone that cares for you and that desires God's best for your life, but my prayer is that you would look at God's word this morning, and that you would see the importance of being connected, not being close, but actually being plugged in and connected to other believers. Listen, our model for that at our church's life groups, it's not the only model, it's the model that we use, right? But there's tons of ways to connect to other believers, to be present in the lives of other people. My prayer this morning is that you'd say how important it is for you, how important it is for your marriage, for your spouse, how important it is for your kids and for your students to be surrounded with other people that love God, that love you, and that want to do this thing together. You've heard the phrase before, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You are going to be like the people that you spend the most time around. Let other Christians invest in you in a powerful way. Let this move you to action. With the time that we have left, I'm going to give you two biblical arguments for small groups. Two biblical arguments for you, no matter what level of connection you have, to take a step deeper in relationship with other believers. And the first one, it's a great argument, and it's simply this: biblical community is a blessing to you. Right, you will be blessed as you are in community with other believers. Look in the New Testament, read the first chapter of every letter that Paul wrote back to those churches, and you'll see every single time that community and relationships and friendships and connections that are centered around the gospel, every single time, it is a blessing. We've seen it in the church in Thessaloniki as well. Here's an example of it. I've got some friends in England. They watch us online sometimes. Chris and Emily, if you're watching, come visit us. But this week, Emily posted a picture. Guys, put that on the screen and y'all check this out. Emily posted this picture, right? Cinnabon. Who's had a Cinnabon? A cinnamon roll here in the U.S. Anybody had one of those before? Are they good, right? Man, they're incredible, right? She posted, if you know, you know. What? If you know what? If you know they're good, then you know they're good and you're going to go get one. Cinnabon's a new thing in the U.K., right? It's a brand new thing. She got that 3 hours away from her house. Why'd she do that? She's tasted it here. Right, she knew how good it was. She had to have it again. And so she went and got it. She left her city. She went over to Manchester and got that. And she texted us and she said, listen, it did not last very long. Why? If you know, you know. Here's what she's saying. If you've tasted one of these before, you know how good it is. If you've tasted one of these before, you know how sweet it is. If you've smelled one of these before, you know how irresistible it is. She said, if you know, you know. I saw that and I thought, man, that's the exact same thing when it comes to biblical community. The exact same thing as deep Christian friendships. If you've experienced deep, meaningful Christian friendships in your life, you know how good it is. If you're living now, right, with deep Christian friendships, with people that care about you, they care about your family, they care about your walk with Christ, you know the incredible blessing that it is. That's what we see in the church in Thessaloniki. We see this incredible blessing that comes connected to other believers. Our walks with Christ are blessed. Our families are blessed when we're connected. And I want to give you a few specific blessings that come as you connect to other believers in life groups or small groups with other believers relationally. Here's the first blessing. You'll be blessed with spiritual growth and encouragement. If you're willing to take the step, if you're willing to get engaged, if you're willing to put yourself out there and share your life with other people, you're going to be blessed with spiritual growth and encouragement. There's something refreshing about being around other believers. There's something refreshing about being with people that love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's an incredible thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Growth happens in groups. Growth happens with other believers. I'm telling you that if you'll plug in, if you'll connect, and if you're a part of this, you've seen this, you've experienced it. I'm just telling you now, right, that when you let other believers speak into your life, you're going to be encouraged and you're going to grow. The second blessing that you get as you plug into other believers is this: you get accountability and protection. Right, that is a blessing in your life. That is a blessing in my life as well, and I want to explain it. I saw this picture online this week as well, and I promise I was not online all week. But I saw this, and I think this picture was meant to be a joke. It says, if I'm a Christian but don't need a church was ever a photo. What's happened, right? Somebody's separated from the herd. They find themselves in trouble, and I think it's a pretty accurate picture for what's going on here. Remember, when we read the Word of God, we have an enemy in this world, right? That the devil's goal, according to Scripture, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And when we're surrounded with other believers, when we're in deep connection, when we have a relationship, that those other believers in our lives encourage us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Think about the church we've been studying this morning, the church in Thessaloniki. Think about the chaos in the city. Think about the pressures they faced. Think about the dangers they faced. Think about the culture that was waging war on them simply because of their beliefs, the much affliction that they had. And think about how they stayed strong, They persevered and they continued to walk with Jesus. I'm telling you right now, the relationships that they had with one another were a major reason why they were able to do that. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says this, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on," right? Encourage one another, hold one another accountable towards love and good deeds. Not giving up, not throwing in the towel, right? Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but instead encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, we're together and we protect one another, we encourage one another, and we spur one another on to do the right thing, to do the godly thing, to continue to keep our eyes on Jesus. Chelsea and I talked about this week. We feel incredibly blessed to have been a part of the Champion Forest Church family for as long as we have. And as we've been a part of it, we've seen God do incredible things. We've seen God move and change lives. We've seen the gospel spread in our community, in our neighborhoods. We've seen the gospel move around the world. That's how we develop those friendships with those people in England. We've just seen God do incredible things. And we can celebrate that. And we can thank God for that. But here's the thing. Right, as we've been around the same place for a long time, what we've seen, guys, put that picture back on the screen. We've seen this be a reality. And here's what I mean. I could give you story after story this morning of people that at one point in their life were walking close with God. And things happened, or they got busy, or their priorities shifted and changed, or something happened in their life. And they slowly sort of started stepping away from other believers. You following me? They slowly stepped out of a life group class. They slowly stepped away from the godly friendships that they had had for years. Right? And for one reason or another, right? No bad intent at all, just didn't make it a priority anymore. And what happened was that they separated from people that were protecting them. They separated from people that were holding them accountable. They separated from people that were willing to speak the truth in love into their lives. And I'm telling you, story after story, time and time again, when something goes down and we see this tragedy in someone's life or in someone's marriage, when we see people make these decisions that really cause some damage and harm in their lives, man, as Chelsea and I are talking about it, we're like, man, we have been praying for them, we've been reaching out to them, we've been trying to get them engaged, but they just slowly drifted away from relationships that pushed them towards Jesus. And as they drifted away from those relationships, they began to drift spiritually in their walk with Christ as well. And the result is never good. The enemy's goal, steal, kill, and destroy, and that is much easier for him when we are in isolation. Christian community protects you. It holds you accountable. And here's the thing, I know myself. I know that I need people in my life that will hold me accountable. I know I need people in my life that will protect me, that will look out for me spiritually. I know I need people in my life that know me and Chelsea well enough that will step in and protect our marriage, that will protect our family. I need people that will speak the truth to me in love, even in those hard seasons when I might not want to hear it. I know myself. And I know you too. Listen, we all need that in our lives. And I'm telling you, the blessing that we have as we connect with one another, as we bear our hearts and our souls to one another, the blessings that come when we are connected relationally, accountability and protection. I guarantee you that was happening in the first century in the church in Thessaloniki. When the hard times came, when they were being pressured and pushed, when they had tough choices to make, the relationships that they had with one another kept them focused on the right thing. Hebrews chapter 10, they were spurring one another on towards love. They were spurring one another on towards godliness. They were spurring one another on towards good deeds. A blessing of being connected. A blessing of being a part of a life group, a small group, a small group of believers that love you and that love God as accountability and protection. Listen, I only have 30 minutes this morning. I could give you the blessings of these relationships for a long, long time, but I want to give you one more. Listen, when you're connected relationally to other believers, the third blessing I just want to point out this morning is this, is love and support. You will get love and support from other believers unlike you will find anywhere else in the world. We've experienced that as a church, right? COVID, freezes, hurricanes, floods, we've experienced that together. We've seen the church family take care of one another and the highest of the highs, that the joys, that the celebrations of new life and kids and jobs and all of that. And we've seen the church family take care of one another in the lowest of lows, the toughest losses that we could imagine. We've seen people step up. Why? Because of the love that's shared in the midst of these relationships. Think, what did Jesus say? John chapter 13. This is how the world will know that you're my people, by your love for one another. This is how the world's going to be able to tell the church apart from everybody else. How? By your love for one another. This is how the world is going to know that you are actually followers of mine. How? By the way that you love one another, right? That's the call of God in our lives, is to love one another. And I'm just telling you that if you'll look at the example that we have of the church here, if you'll look at what God is calling us to do relationally with one another, and if you will put forth the effort, it's effort, right? It takes some time. If you'll put forth the effort here, you'll be blessed in incredible ways. Everything that we talked about, right? Encouragement and growth, accountability, protection, love, and support. Those are all good things, right? I want those things. You want those things as well. The Bible says that we will experience and live in the midst of those blessings as we plug in. But I want to also tell you what Jesus said. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Listen, we got incredible blessings from plugging in here, but if you heard all of those blessings that come when you plug into a life group or plug into to a small group of people, and you thought, nah, I don't really need that. If you thought that, I love you, but you're wrong, okay? But I want you to think about something else. Even if you were right, I'm asking you this morning to do what Jesus said. I'm asking you to give all of those blessings to other people. I'm asking you to plug in so that you can give those blessings to the people that God brings into your life. When we gather as a church family, we can't only think doctrine. We must think doctrine, but we've also got to think hearts. We can't only think lessons. We have to think about lives. We should see a clear call from God this morning to invest in others, to bless other people. That's our second argument this morning for small groups being a priority. You're blessed to be a blessing. If you've been around here, you heard Stephen Trammell say that a lot. You are blessed to be a blessing. As a believer, you are part of something bigger than yourself. The Bible says, Ephesians 4, one body, many parts, everybody doing their job makes the whole body grow up together in love. When you're disconnected, it hurts you, right? You're missing the blessings here that we're talking about, but it doesn't only hurt you. It hurts everyone else too. It hurts the body, the community here. As a part of the body of Christ, when we walk in here, we shouldn't only be thinking, man, what can I get today? What is somebody going to give me? How can I benefit from being here? As we walk in here, man, we should look around and ask ourselves this question, what can I do this morning to help someone else grow in their walk with Christ? What can I do to encourage someone? What can I do to bless someone? What can I do to come alongside someone in their moment of need and help them, encourage them, spur them on towards love and towards good deeds? Listen, it's not about what I can get. It's about what I can give. And we do that in the context of those smaller groups, those relationships. Listen, you have no idea how you just being present and plugged in could not only bless you, but bless other people around you. You have no idea what God wants to do through you and your connection to help somebody else grow spiritually in their relationship with Him. You have no idea your presence in a small group, man, what it's going to do for someone that's never walked through the front door of our church. Listen, you just being there could make all the difference in making them feel comfortable to come back and to plug in. You might be thinking, well, not me. I don't have anything to give. Or you might be looking across the room and thinking, well, not them. They don't have anything to give. And if you're thinking that, that's not very nice. And it's wrong. And I can pick up the Bible and with the authority of the Word of God say every person in this room that's a follower of Christ, every person in this room is able to bless every other person in this room in ways that we never dreamed. Listen, you have Jesus Christ, a relationship with Him. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have the living, active Word of God that can flow from your heart and your mouth into the lives of other people. The Bible says if you're a follower of Christ, you have been gifted by the Holy Spirit to speak truth and love and hope and joy from Christ himself and the lives of other people. You have everything that you need to be a blessing to other people here in this life. Think back to our examples. Paul, the church in Thessaloniki. This is a group of believers. They're growing, right? They're experiencing the love and joy that comes with walking with Jesus. They're changing lives even in the midst of what the Bible calls much affliction, the toughest of times. That's our goal, right? To walk with Jesus and to bring other people along with us. And they did it. So we're counting on Jesus. And they were connected in relationship with one another. Back at verse 8. Here's what Paul says. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very own selves, because you had become so very dear to us. He didn't grow up with them. He wasn't even from their city. But he stepped in and was willing to go deep relationally with them because he knew that's what God had called them to do. I want to encourage you this morning, take that step, right? Any fears that you've had, any hesitations that you've had, any insecurities that you've had, any obstacles that you've had, push them aside. Dive in and connect with other believers. I'm telling you, you'll get the blessing. But more important than that, right, you'll bless other people in a profound way. Would you pray with me? And I just want to encourage you, just take this moment, sit still for a minute, and just think about what Paul said and the deep love and relationship that he had with that church and the deep love that that church had with one another. And I just want to ask you three questions. And I just want to ask you to think about them with your head bowed for a minute. And the first question is very simple, and it's a yes or no, is are you connected? Are you connected to God because you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Listen, the relationships we read about this morning, they were good, really, really good, but they were only made possible because those people had trusted in Jesus as their Savior. That's what it takes to become a child of God. You trust in Christ as your Savior. This morning, if you have not done that, my prayer is that you would. My prayer is that you would see, man, how much he loves you and desires to be in a relationship with you. I want to encourage you, step in to that relationship with him. The end of our service, I want to encourage you to step in our connection room. Tell our team there, I'm ready to trust Jesus as my Savior. And they'll walk you through it. Be honored to open God's Word and show you how to step in that relationship with him. My second question this morning is this, is if you are connected to God through a relationship with Jesus Christ, are you connected to other believers like we read about in God's Word this morning? Are you connected at this deep level where you are ready, willing, and able to give your very heart and soul to other people in the church, to other believers, to share with you your very lives? And if you'd say, that's not me, if you'd say, I want that, man, I desire that, I desire those friendships, I desire those relationships that I'm not currently living in them, listen, I'm just telling you right now that probably running through your mind is every excuse for why not. You're too busy, you travel too much, you've got too much going on, it's just a bad season of life or a tough season of life, and you just can't quite make it. Listen, I'm just telling you right now, listen, those excuses, those reasons, they're not from God. Make the effort, right? Plug in. Get information on a life group. Get information on a Bible study. If it doesn't fit your schedule, we've got other things outside of Sunday morning that happen all week long where you can plug in and develop those deep relationships with other believers. Get connected. Be a blessing. And then last, let me just ask you this. If you are living in the blessings that come from being united to other believers like this, are you helping other people experience those blessings as well? Are you helping other people get connected? Are you reaching outside the walls of the church? Are you reaching out to new people that walk into the church? Are you being someone that's willing to share the blessing of that connection with others? Or are you stuck in your group? Just telling you, man, turn your eyes outward. Grab some people, bring them in, and let them experience the blessings that come when we walk with Jesus with other believers. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we thank you this morning for your word. God, we thank you that we were never designed to do this alone. We do this with you, and we do this with other people that love you and that love us. And God, I pray that would be, that God, that the life, the heartbeat of every person in here, I pray that you would continue to knit our hearts together. God, to knit our hearts together because of the incredible love that you have for each and every one of us and the love that we share for one another. So in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.